Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.
I wish I could tell you everything is okay. I wish I could comfort you and tell you there is nothing to fear. But I can't. And if you are really being honest, that's not what you want. You want to be scared. You like being scared. So, join me, your elusive host, and I will tell you why you're haunted by so many monsters. Scary Stories is a bi-weekly podcast about the psychology of fear and the stories we use to explain it. So, take a seat and let me tell you about this thing that happened to a friend of a friend of a friend. Find it everywhere you listen to podcasts.
All right, everybody, what this is kind of a messed up bonus episode, I guess you could say. I had forgot an obligation, so I had to put an episode out today, and I was ill-prepared. The regular episode will be on your feed here in a couple of days, the one I've been working on. So what I had to do was I took an episode from my Patreon, basically to show, you know, what kind of episodes I do on Patreon, and because I needed a little bit of extra content today. So pretty much, for all you Patreon subscribers, I do apologize. Your episode will be out here in a couple days on the regular feed. Sorry you have to rehear this one. And for all of you who are not Patreon subscribers, you can go to patreon.com/mysterious circumstances and sign up. I think I have about like 10 episodes on there now, and here in about 2 weeks I'll have another one on there, and that one will actually be a live Skype episode. So those are always really, really fun, you know. Hope you guys enjoy the little bonus episode.
This podcast contains adult content.
Some of the themes or topics may include
information on murder, kidnapping,
torture, dismemberment,
maybe some demonic content,
with information on possessions
and paranormal activity.
This podcast will also include explicit,
horrible and foul,
socially unacceptable,
totally uninhibited,
adult themes language.
So if you're easily offended,
if you're easily triggered,
then I highly suggest you turn this off now, and if not, just keep in mind,
parental discretion is advised.
This was suggested by a listener of mine named Chansey. Chansey, thank you for wrecking my fucking brain with this disturbing shit. So with that being said, let's set the scene here. Alright, it's mid-November, about 1987. We're in Minidoka County, Idaho, which is kind of south-central, southeast Idaho. It's right around a town called Rupert. Now, this is a small, tight-knit community of about 3,000 to 4,000 people. A trapper out by the local landfill is checking his lines. He's out around the sand dunes and shit, and he spots this metal tube. Now, he kind of glances over and sees what he says, thinks might be a monkey. Now, he does not report this until after the fact, so keep that in mind. Now, where our real story takes place 9 p.m. Friday, November 17th, 1987. The same landfill in Manitoka County, Idaho, which is just right around Rupert. There are some teens out four-wheeling, and they get stuck. So they see this tube as well, because this is not a highly trafficked area. But there are a lot of people out there on ATVs four-wheeling, and they have their four-wheel drive trucks out there just tearing shit up, because that's what people do in the country. It is what it is. I do it too. Okay. So they see this metal tube as well. They assume it was blown over from the landfill. They really didn't think too much of it. They didn't even look inside it. So they end up getting their either four-wheeler or their four-wheel drive truck stuck in some mud because it's pretty damp. It's been very rainy there lately. So a local neighbor named Robert Boseger, I'm not sure how to say his last name, to be perfectly honest with you. He lives about a mile away from this landfill, and he goes out there with his truck, and he's got his young son with him. And he ends up getting, while he's pulling these teenagers out, he ends up getting his own truck stuck back there. So he decides that him and his younger son are going to go walk home. His son approaches this metal drum before him. Robert, his flashlight's kind of dim, but it's well lit enough to where he can make out an outline of what this is inside this metal drum. So he kind of pushes his son along. They go home. He puts his son to bed. Now, after his son goes to bed, he calls the local sheriff's office. Now, what they end up finding, a guy named, we're not going to use his last name in case he's still working there for whatever reason, a guy named Sheriff Ray. Sheriff Ray needs an autopsy report to determine exactly what this is in this barrel. And what he discovers is the remains of an infant girl, no more than 3 weeks old, who has been dead for no more than 5 days. This infant child was dismembered, disemboweled, possibly skinned. Both hands were missing. Its right arm was missing at the shoulder. All of its abdominal organs were cut out. The only thing left inside were the lungs and the upper heart chamber. Now, this infant child was placed on its back in this drum with its clothes on and set on fire with gasoline. Obviously, that's quite fucking appalling. The sheriff and the prosecutor hold a press conference shortly thereafter, and they state in this press conference that they cannot rule out satanic ritualism as a cause for this infant child's death. Now, upon the autopsy, they do discover that there is a very clear sign that there was pneumonia in the lungs of this child, but the death is ultimately ruled undetermined. And to top it all off, there is nobody in this small community that had a child missing, that anybody ever remembered being pregnant, anything of that nature. So this young baby was never even buried. It was put away as potential evidence on a shelf in the local mortuary. Now, if you think that's a little fucked up, wait till you hear this. So while the local authorities are investigating this case, this anonymous letter arrives from Eastern Idaho. And obviously word is out that everybody's investigating this. And word has also gotten out that this is potentially a satanic ritual that has been found. So this letter shows up, and what it says is, and I quote, "Stop looking at hospital records and assuming that the mother was aware of what happened to her baby. I was a victim many times of Satanists in the Burley, Rupert, and Murtaugh area. Know that in many cases, women are used as breeders for the seed of Satan. Babies were born in the compound and no records were ever kept. Many times the mothers only lived in a nightmare world and cannot tell you about their child. Babies were not dead before disemboweling." End quote. So obviously, and I mean up until 2016, they are still trying to find the source of this letter. They have no fucking idea. But it gets even more interesting after this. So in the summer of 2017, this researcher gets a hold of these two remote viewers. Now, these two remote viewers are very highly respected and very, very accurate. They have helped solve a lot of missing person cases. They shall remain nameless, just because I don't want to put them out there, but they are easy to find in connection with this case. And what happens is these remote viewers find out about a boy who is referred to as Timothy. Now, Timothy is from Rupert, Idaho, and Timothy also moved to California. Now, when Timothy moved to California, he started seeing a child psychologist. What this boy starts telling the child psychologist is details of human sacrifice that he had witnessed that involved setting a baby girl on fire. Now, when these remote viewers went back to contact the researcher about what they had seen, I mean, they knew exactly where this guy was from, and no, Timothy is not his real name, by the way. They knew exactly where Timothy had moved to in California, and they knew about Timothy's father as well, which we will get to here in a minute. Now, as soon as these remote viewers get a hold of this researcher, what happens is on July 3rd, 2017, the researcher contacted one of the remote viewers, and he says he'll no longer be researching the Baby X case and is cutting all ties to the investigation. The exact message that he wrote was, and I quote, "I appreciate your time and effort. I will not be continuing my work with you or anything to do with Baby X. I will also not be able to compensate you. I am sorry. Timothy is a troubled man. It would be impossible to present him as credible. It has been made clear to me that this is a crime which will remain unsolved. There will be no further discussion between us." And all correspondence was cut off. Pretty fucked up, right? But it gets even weirder. This prosecuting attorney that I had mentioned earlier with the sheriff, who did the press conference, he has a very bad record when it comes to prosecuting narcotics charges. And the only reason this plays into the case at all is because right around this area in Idaho is apparently a crossroads for major drug trafficking, which sounds pretty interesting in itself. But then you also have an account of the friend of this prosecuting attorney who goes on record stating that he sat around a campfire with them one night, just talking back and forth and bullshitting, and he was talking about how you can use the inner metal drum from a dryer as an incinerator, which is weird as fuck, right? Check this out. The sheriff that I had mentioned earlier, Sheriff Ray, he has actually been spotted guarding the road leading to some of these places that are quote-unquote known places of rituals, and that also includes major drug trafficking roads in the area. And to top it all off, the sheriff's wife died on December 23rd, 1999, which supposedly is the very date that Satan was said to return to the earth, and the date that Christ was killed in the Bible. Now, granted, the sheriff's wife's death was ruled a suicide, but if you have ever listened to my fucking podcast, you know that not all suicides are exactly suicides. Pretty weird, right? So back to Timothy. Timothy was about 10 years old or so when he said he saw all this stuff happening as he's talking to the child psychologist. Now, he's telling this child psychologist about how his parents and some of the people in the town were involved in all of this, and they made him watch a baby girl getting burned alive. Now, that is interesting in its own right. Now, I'm going to give you a side fact. When the child psychologist found out about what he was saying, of course, the first questions They started marathon, like a marathon of interviewing this kid. Like, legit, this kid was involved. He was a central figure in this investigation. That is no bullshit, because of some of the things that he was saying. Now, obviously, his dad gets pulled in. They start asking him questions. This is also a fact. The one thing that his dad said, they said, "What kind of bedtime stories do you read your fucking kid, man?" And I mean, obviously, I added to that, but that was legit one of the questions that they asked him. And Timothy's father says that they used to read a lot from the Bible, and one of those stories would be about King Solomon cutting the baby in half. I'm sure you all know the story if you're even half-ass Christian. And I mean, if not, I'm not going to get into that story, but it is a story from the Bible. And if you're not familiar with it, please go ahead and look it up. Now, I'm going to touch base a little bit on this Timothy, okay? So in March of 1990 is when he supposedly goes into therapy with his child psychologist, and it's because he was having disturbing dreams of sexual abuse and torture. Now, he starts drawing pictures, and now some of these pictures are definitely open to interpretation, but it was suggested that Timothy had witnessed some satanic rituals, including sexual abuse. Now, this is what the psychologist said. Now, Timothy told therapists and some police detectives that his experiences had taken place in Rupert, which is just so happened where Baby X's remains were found. Now, shortly after that, Timothy claimed that during a satanic ritual, he had witnessed the sacrifice of an infant who may well have been Baby X. All these, like, memories of his, they were published in the South Idaho Press, and this included very graphic descriptions of some of these satanic rituals. Now, according to Timothy, he says, and I quote, "They put me on a table with a Bible. The devil is there. They pray to the devil. 18 people stood around. The devil makes these people hurt me. They hurt me so bad. They hurt me in the private parts. They have hurt me so many times. The devil makes people bad. They have sacrifices. It's done in a real Bible. The devil is there. 18 people are there. They sacrifice cats. They put them on a table and pray and sacrifice and give them to the devil. They do this all the time, even in the winter when it's cold. They sacrifice all animals, even sacrifice babies. They lay them on this table and give them to the devil. They pray to them from the real Bible. The Bible is on the table. Where do they get the babies? I don't know. The babies don't have any clothes on. They just put them on the table, and pretty soon the devil makes a fire and they are on fire. My mom and dad are there and they watch." Pretty fucked up shit, right? Of course, the authorities are like, what the fuck is this kid talking about? So they really don't even go forward and press any kind of charges or really even question the parents for that matter. I'm not gonna lie, this is some pretty graphic shit, okay? I have a fucking 9-year-old and he is smart enough to give me an accurate description of most things, all right? Obviously, the authorities say, oh, Timothy never witnessed any kind of rituals, he just invented the story. I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you, this area around Rupert is pretty fucked up with some sex crimes against children, alright? There's a long fucking list of pedophiles in this small community and the surrounding communities as well. Now, I've got this really cool sponsor for this episode, and it's called Care Of. And you guys know that I am not going to try to sell you something that I personally haven't tried or something that I don't agree with. So, what is CareOf.com? Care Of is a subscription service that makes it easy to get vitamins, protein powders, and more personalized just for you and delivered straight to your door. Give yourself the support this season with a boost. Whether you're looking for energy, better sleep, you know, reduce your stress a little bit, anything that can make you feel your healthiest. Personally, I had the energy and the better sleep ones, because as you guys know, I'm ruthless with my research and podcasting. I don't get much sleep. So the little sleep that I do get, it's got to be good sleep. And then when I'm at work, working my regular job, besides podcasting, obviously I need energy. And then that goes along with having a couple kids too. I'm almost 40 years old, okay? Energy is hard to come by these days. So if you're interested in any of this stuff, what you want to do is Care Of has an online quiz, okay, that lets you know exactly what you need. The online quiz is new and improved to learn if you are getting enough protein, fiber, and good fats to determine if you could benefit from Care Of's new natural protein powders. The whole health thing should be easy and convenient. It can be really hard work to know what vitamins and supplements you should be taking. Care Of makes this really easy to find out what you specifically need to be your healthiest. And the best part is, they deliver the daily vitamin and supplement packs along with proteins and more, all customized to your recommendations, so you're only taking what you really need. And they deliver them. You don't even have to go anywhere. It gets sent right to your door every month with your personalized daily packs, because if you're a busy guy like I am, you don't have time to go pick up vitamins. You don't have time to go shop around. The online quiz is super fast. It's super easy. It's not hard at all. It's definitely worth the time. Now, to experience the Care Of difference, Care Of makes sure you're getting vitamins and protein from the best sources, backed by honest guidance and transparency, okay? I'm really big on transparency. Obviously, you guys know this because you're listening to my podcast. And there's two other really cool things about Care Of, okay? You can track your progress with the Care Of app and earn rewards when you remember to take your vitamins. Another thing is, I know I have a lot of vegan and vegetarian listeners, and there are supplement options available to match those specific diets, which is actually really important because everybody has different lifestyles. Now, what you want to do is you want to go to takecareof.com. And when you go to checkout, use the promo code MCPODCAST30. And that gets you 30% off your first Care Of order. Like I said, go to takecareof.com, enter the promo code MCPODCAST30, and get 30% off your first order. Go out there and live your healthiest life. Now, obviously, the authorities ended up saying that Baby X was more than likely discarded by scared parents because the baby had pneumonia and they didn't know what to do with it. And then some of the baby's remains were eaten by wild animals. Okay, I could see that. I have never seen a fucking coyote set anything on fire. Okay? One of the other little suggestions, you know, from the authorities, because they have no fucking idea what's going on over here, is that it was basically discarded as an unwanted child by a mother. But there is no records of anybody even being pregnant around this area that didn't end up having a fucking baby directly after it should have been born. Now, that's pretty weird shit, right? But it gets even more interesting. So apparently, in southern Idaho, there's an entrance to an underground facility. Now, you might think this is conspiracy theories and shit, but check this out. A 35-year-old guy in a farm town in southern Idaho, right around this area, writes into a magazine in 1948 saying he's discovered the entrance to an underground facility. Well, a couple months later, his mutilated corpse is found. There is literally a trail of documents on this. This is not anonymous internet posts. This is not, you know, conspiracy theories gone wild. Now, to make that even more interesting, is the autopsy records of this guy who was mutilated and dead are missing. When the coroner has been asked, or was asked at the time, the documents ended up coming up missing. And on top of that, what makes this even fucking weirder, first of all, this guy that was found mutilated, his last name was Haycock. Not 100% sure on his first name. Now, or the newspaper that all this was not published in. Like, there is no records of this guy even fucking dying, even though he did. There was no obituary or nothing like that. This happened right around Burley, Idaho. And it was owned by this guy. It was a senator. His name was Henry Dworshak. And he was a member of the Joint Committee for Atomic Energy. This guy played a role into investigating the CIA's MK Ultra mind control program. Now, this shit couldn't get any weirder, right? Now, there is also a short time frame right around this when 30 dogs, not 13, 30, 30 dogs in southern Idaho went missing. Literally went missing. Only one was found. And the one that was found was a German Shepherd, and it had its head crushed in a suspected ritual killing. Obviously not confirmed. That's why it's a suspected ritual killing. So, with all that information, let's try to break this down a little bit. Like I had stated earlier, it's not totally out of the realm of possibility to think that there was a mother who had a kid that nobody fucking ever saw around this tiny little community that did not want her fucking child and discarded her. That does not answer certain questions, though. You have two hands missing. One arm fucking missing at the shoulder. You have a baby that is cut open, disemboweled, dismembered. All of the internal organs are gone, with the exception of the lungs and just the upper chamber of the heart. Now, I am a fucking huge person into the occult, probably more than what I should be. I have a very unique knowledge of this. There are certain things in occult rituals that you would use a hand for, like a smaller hand, kind of like a, you know, almost to the same aspect of like a, you know, a chicken's fucking hand or something like that. That would be used for good luck and wealth. Now, supposedly, it is suspected, and like I said, it's only suspected, it's a theory, is that the person who paid for this ritual to take place of Baby X used her hands as talismans to bring more wealth and more good fortune to themselves. That's merely speculation. But you got to think, who's going to discard a child in an area where you know people are going to be riding four-wheelers, going to be, you know, driving four-wheel drive trucks, just having a good fucking time right there out in the open, unless maybe possibly they were interrupted in the middle of it, something of that nature. It is also suspected that the guy who found Baby X was possibly responsible for the murder itself. Obviously, again, that's pure speculation. But I gotta come back to Timothy here. The fact that this researcher got a hold of this remote viewer and literally ceased all fucking contact and would never talk about this case again, like from what I read to you, that is fucking weird. And the fact that this kid details this shit just very, very detailed, that's very fucking weird. No charges were ever brought forth. Like I said, the official ruling of death was that the baby died of pneumonia and was more than likely discarded by scared parents. What the fuck are they going to be scared of? A baby died of pneumonia. What is there to be fucking scared of? That makes no fucking sense whatsoever. You got to take into account the prosecutor, the drug trafficking fucking theory, all of that good stuff, the sheriff theory, the sheriff's wife committing suicide on a supposed day that the devil was supposed to return to Earth. Also, supposedly the day that Christ was born. Pretty fucking weird, right? And that's why I chose this for a Patreon episode. Because I'll be perfectly honest with you, I have no real answers for this. Everything that I can throw out there is pure speculation. So, get a hold of me and let me know what you think about it. And I will see you guys on the flip side.